Good afternoon. I'd like to call the Senate Judiciary Committee to order. Today is Monday, February 25th. Let the record reflect the time is 1:30. Today we have President Vice Chair Senator Reinbold, Senator Michicki, Senator Keel, and myself, Chair Senator Hughes. Please silence your cell phone. I don't always mention staff assisting us. I just say in general, but today I want to say it. Just every once in a while, Nancy Hemingway with Senate Records, we appreciate you, and Doug Bridges with LIO. Thank you for assisting us, and of course, Buddy Witt, our committee aide. We only have one item on the agenda today because Legislative Legal did not complete the CS committee substitute for SB 12. So today we're going to consider the governor's appointments to the Alaska Police Standards Council. And I just want to go over the mission of that council so that as we're listening to the appointees, it might trigger a question or just give you a basic understanding of what they're stepping up to do. The Alaska Police Standards Council mission is to produce and maintain a highly trained and positively motivated professional capable of meeting contemporary law enforcement standards of performance. The core services include determined certification eligibility for all police, probation, parole, and correctional officers, and issue appropriate level of certificate to these qualified officers. In cases of misconduct by a certified officer, make a determination whether certification should be revoked. Monitor compliance with current regulations and legislation, develop, monitor, and revise law enforcement training and training requirements, assist academies and departments with funding for academy training, fund specialized and advanced training for departments, provide smaller agencies across Alaska with assistance in obtaining pre-employment polygraph and psychological testing for officers. So that gives an overview of their mission and duties. So we are going to start with those that are, we do have one person in the room, so we're going to ask Ms. Winkleman, Jennifer Winkleman, if you will please come forward. And Jennifer, you may state your name for the record and tell us why you think you are a good fit to serve in this particular seat. And I'll also ask, are you from Juneau? Because when someone comes, makes a point to be here in person, that's why I wanted to allow you to go first. So,
yes, I am from Juneau.
And so state your name for the record. And
absolutely. My name is Jennifer Winkleman. I am the Director of Probation and Parole. And I just want to thank the committee for your time this afternoon. I know that you are in receipt of my application and supporting qualifications, but I thought I would just give you a little brief introduction for the record. I am a fourth-generation Alaskan. I was actually born and raised in Fairbanks. My family relocated to Juneau in 2016 due to my employment with the Department of Corrections. I graduated from the University of Alaska Fairbanks with a degree in justice and paralegal studies. I have been with the Department of Corrections for 18 years, both in the institution and the field. I am married. He is an Athabascan who was born in the village of Shagluck. He also worked for the Department of Corrections for 30 years and retired in 2016. So collaboratively, we have a lot of knowledge of the Department of Corrections. We have two beautiful sons that attend school here in Juneau. Why would I like this position? I guess, essentially, I believe the council is incredibly important to maintain professionalism and integrity within the law enforcement community. And I think that that professionalism itself definitely correlates to public safety. I once heard an educator say that one of the most important factors in job satisfaction was how much that your job impacts the well-being of others. And as a probation and parole officer for the last 18 years, I have worked very hard every day to hope that I can make that difference. When I was appointed to the Director of Probation and Parole, I was presented with the opportunity to serve on this council, and I saw this opportunity as an honor and a privilege to serve in a greater capacity outside of what I call my comfort zone of knowing corrections. But with that said, I also, as a leader in corrections, I am steadfast that we cannot work in a silo to combat public safety. We have to work together, and that is with brothers and sisters in law enforcement as well as our communities. So. I recognize that for various reasons, the state of Alaska has encountered difficulty with recruitment and retention in law enforcement specifically, and I feel that these difficulties seem to be parallel across all law enforcement agencies. To serve on this council would allow me to have insight into the opportunities that could be offered to produce and maintain the highly trained officers to protect our great state. On the other side, service on this council would allow me the opportunity to restore faith in those that may have lost their faith toward law enforcement by addressing cases of misconduct when they're brought to the attention of the council. I believe in the work of the peace officers, but I also believe it's imperative that there's a check and balance system in place because of the latitude and authority that are given to our officers. So then what value would I bring to the council? Not only would I bring a corrections viewpoint to the council, I think that I can also offer a really broad statewide perspective. As a leader in the Department of Corrections, I have managed probation and parole offices from our northernmost city of Barrow, Utagavik, all the way down to Ketchikan. That means Nome, Kotzebue, Sitka, Fairbanks. I have an office actually in Anchorage as well. And so I feel that this responsibility of managing these offices has given me exposure and knowledge of strengths and struggles that exist in regard to resources, staffing, and then obviously the unique nature of cases in Alaska and how they can vary from community to community. I have seen and been required to work together with whatever law enforcement agency is in the areas, in the particular communities, and I think that it is imperative that we work together. Teamwork is imperative to accomplish our mission. So while I acknowledge I have not lived in a rural community in Alaska, I have visited countless times and, of course, have family and friends in these communities. Another value that I bring is that I am naturally a problem solver. I like to always think of new ways to do business and think outside the box. I think this ties into my rural experience because I do think that it's absolutely critical to work as a team in rural Alaska. I look forward to sharing my network and communication talent with the council, and these are relationships that currently exist, and I just look forward to expanding them. I have never served on this council, but I reviewed the mission and core, and I feel that my experience and personality would be an asset. For example, I managed a caseload of felons for many years. That means that I'm not afraid to tackle tough, sensitive situation when a decision needs to be made. It may mean that I have to arrest somebody or have removed someone from their home to help a victim or a child. And these, I guess, to share with the community, these are decisions I never made lightly. Then as a supervisor and staff, like I said, from Utagavik to Ketchikan, I've listened and empathized wholeheartedly with the different challenges and opportunities that staff face in these areas. I feel I have been fair and impartial in making decisions that impact both our staff and the communities. I can consider facts and successfully formulate decisions based on the big picture and ultimately the safety of our community. So in closing, I would state that while the career field is evolving, we get lots of new tools of the trade and technology. One thing in my mind that remains steady, and that's the necessity to ensure that the state of Alaska is producing these highly skilled, trained law enforcement agencies with morals and integrity. I believe the council is the place to do that, and I know my statewide experience within corrections could bring a huge asset and value to the council and the state. So thank the committee for the time today.
Thank you, Ms. Winkleman. Are there questions for members? Senator Michiki.
Thank you. Ms. Winkleman, when did you become the director of probation? I see here from 2001 is when you joined the department as a probation parole officer. When did you become the director?
So through the chair to Senator Michiki, I became the director with this administration, so December of 2018.
Very good. Thank you. That's my only question, Madam Chair.
I have a question, and that is making decisions regarding misconduct. Were you ever involved in anything in the Department of Corrections where there was a situation with misconduct with an officer, and how did you handle it? And do you have experience in that?
So to the chair, as a supervisor, I have handled cases of misconduct primarily with personnel issues. I have been made aware as a supervisor when there have been cases brought before the Alaska Police Standards Council. So if there is a personnel matter that rises to the level of bringing it first goes through our Human Resource Department, and then if it rises to the level that the Human Resource Department feels that it needs to go on to the Alaska Police Standards Council, they will forward it on. So I have handled personnel matters that have been within our department through Human Resources that have resulted in performance improvement plans that have involved, unfortunately, non-retention of staff for behaviors, dishonesty, And then I have also, I am aware of cases that have been forwarded to the Alaska Police Standards Council, but they, after that, after the initial human resource part where we're dealing with it, they're at, they've been out of my hands. So I haven't dealt with anything that has been risen to the level of coming to the Alaska Police Standards Council.
Thank you. It's good to know that's not foreign to you and you have experience with that. Senator Reinbold.
Thank you. So this is more of a global perspective, I guess. I know that you're applying for the Police Standards Council, so I'd want, I don't know if you have any relationships with law enforcement and what their morale is right now. Do they have the tools that they need to keep the Alaskans safe, or have you been interacting with them and they're pretty frustrated with the current state of affairs?
So through the chair to Senator Reinbold, I would say since I've been in this position and applied for the council, no. And I would say that I would make that a mission to hear that out. What I would say is that prior to that, I feel very confident that I have good relationships with those folks that have shared those struggles with me. I can think of times of being up in Barrow, Utagavik, and heard the struggles of getting staff on board, heard that to even get folks training and to get folks sent out to get good quality training leaves a department short-staffed. So we've collaborated at times in my role as prior was the chief probation officer. We've collaborated on ideas on how we could work together to, can we help your department? Maybe we would, you know, fund training, or maybe we've got UA cups that we could lend them. So I feel very familiar with it, but not in relation to this role, if that answers your question.
Senator Reinbold?
I just think it's really important because, between pretrial officers, parole officers, probation officers, VPSOs, troopers, police officers, you know, there's a lot of law enforcement out there. And I can say, with the exception of possibly one, every single one that I've talked to in the last 2.5 years is kind of frustrated with the whole. They want to do more for the people of Alaska. They want their tools back, you know, in order to keep the people safe. And I really want to put you on spot in regards to, you know, how do you think the pretrial and parole and all that. But I don't think that's the right time or the place right now for that. But I would really just ask you to reach out to the local police departments. I would just, on the way here, I was reading a letter about how frustrated they were trying to stop, you know, with SB 91 being implemented in the first place. And now they really feel like, you know, their tools are stripped. And so I believe there's immense frustration with police and law enforcement generally across the state. So anything you could do to just keep your pulse on that, I think would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
And through the chair to Senator Reinbold, I hear you loud and clear. And I definitely have heard and seen the frustrations. And it's everything from implementing laws to things not being available, tools not being available. And I certainly can make that commitment to having my pulse and doing what I can.
I'd like to let the record reflect that Senator Schauer joined us a few minutes ago. Are there other questions, members? I have one more, and it ties in a bit with the training. As we adjust the criminal statutes to make Alaskans safer, will this Police Standards Council, your familiarity with it, is that they will incorporate those changes in the training? I know that some of us got reports after SB 91 passed that officers were just letting citizens know that they couldn't do something because of SB 91. So I certainly want them to know the tools that they're being given and so that they can use and exercise those. Will that be part of that training, or is each department, each local police department and the state troopers, are they responsible for making sure their officers know the new criminal statutes?
So to the chair, each department is responsible for their own. However, the Alaska Police Standards Council that provides the officers that are in each department their certification globally are responsible. I can speak from the corrections standpoint. The APSC has been phenomenal at providing us as leaders, and I see in the list of the email chain of who gets that of what opportunities are out there with tools and such, tools and training opportunities that are out there, whether or not other departments, even our own department, corrections, can absorb and fund and do things as far as sending folks to them. That part I'm not certain of. But as far as getting the message out, I can say that Alaska Police Standards Council is fantastic with getting out information on new laws, information on the trainings that are available that their officers can take part in, and then ultimately, of course, that will be up to the individual offices. As far as I'm aware, I should say, it's ultimately up to each individual department to make that happen in whatever capacity they can.
Well, thank you for that, and I hope that if you are confirmed, and I don't see any problem that you won't be, but that would be an ongoing mission to make sure that new information gets out. It's important they know. Senator Schauer has a question.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Madam Chair. Would you support, I mean, the power of the government flows from the people, Constitution, right? So one of the things that I've talked to a lot of senior law enforcement officers and those lower down is that they do not get much constitutional training, what the actual rights of the citizens are that they interact with and how to handle that. One of the things we're looking at in my office is the ability to provide more training on their constitutional duties and obligations for the citizens from their initial academy, including recurrent training as they progress throughout their career. Would you support a push that was trying to initiate those types of changes or that kind of training?
So through the chair to Senator Schauer, absolutely. I can say personally what a learning experience, having only been in this position since December, and what a learning experience this has been, and the absolute importance that these messages and the training on laws and the Constitution, it's imperative that staff get that. And I can say that without a doubt that I would be in support of that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Ms. Winkleman.
Thank you.
We're going to go next to Rebecca Hammond, who is calling in, and she's calling in from out of state, and she's on vacation. So we will be nice to you, Ms. Hammond, and let you not have to wait so long. And if you could please introduce yourself and tell us why you're interested in serving on the Alaska Police Standards Council and what you'll be bringing to the table in that role.
Good afternoon. My name is Rebecca Hammond, H-A-M-O-N, and I have served on this council for 8 years previous, for two different terms. I come to the council from the standpoint of a public member, but I work with police officers quite regularly. I'm an advocate for victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. And so I work in the courts, and I work with individuals, and I work with a lot of the different agencies that work with victims. I live out in a very remote area, King Salmon. It's in Bristol Bay. And because my main organization is over in Dillingham, which is about 100 miles away, I work alone. I'm the only advocate in our three villages. And then I cover all of the villages that are in the Lake and Peninsula borough. So in all, about 17 villages. The most of these villages do not have law enforcement close to them, usually within a day's journey, or sometimes the troopers can get there in one day, but often it's 24 hours before law enforcement can arrive to assess or to arrest somebody or to protect. So I'm often working with communities where we just have to be really creative about safety for people and helping them help themselves as best we can. I began serving on the council 8 years ago, not really knowing anything about what the council does. I had worked with troopers in our local police pretty regularly before that, but I didn't maybe understand their viewpoint as well. And so I feel like serving on the council has really helped me understand the pressures and the challenges of our peace officers in the state. And it's helped me to work as a team player better with the law enforcement that I do work with in our cases. And I feel like I've been able to bring the viewpoint of the small community to the council. Helping the council understand our staffing and training challenges, the challenges that we face because of just the remoteness of our towns and the access to them. And I feel like another thing that I bring is just the viewpoint that there's been a lot of loss of trust between Alaskans and law enforcement, especially out in the villages. And I feel like we can do a lot to rebuild that and give our citizens a sense of confidence about the way that they are cared for by the law and supported. I've always been an advocate for better training for our officers and also better behavioral health and mental health supports, because these jobs are so taxing from a personal standpoint. I know that also as an advocate. And so that's one thing I'm often speaking up for is the support, the well-being of our officers and how that enhances their ability to do their jobs. I've lived in King Salmon for about 20 years. I arrived there as a brand new mom, and my husband came up to work for the Park Service. He's a biologist and also a pilot. And we decided to stay, and we raised our children there. And I've got a son who is 18 and a pilot, and a daughter who is 20 and working for Penair. So we're kind of an air travel family, I guess you could say. But anyway, we've made our life there. We're very connected with the community. We're, as you might see from my resume, I'm also on the school board, and I've served on a lot of different boards. As you might be aware, in small towns, a lot of times people wear a lot of hats, and I guess we are that kind of family. We have a lot of involvement in a lot of different areas in our town. And so I feel like as a council member, I can bring that small town perspective and to the table, and also the viewpoint of those folks that we are trying to represent when we are enforcing the law, those that have been harmed by others, and finding, helping them find satisfaction with the way the law supports them.
Thank you, Ms. Hammond, and thank you for your willingness to step up and serve and continue after serving 8 years. Do members have questions? Senator Reinbold?
First of all, Rebecca, wow. I don't know how you got everything from your professional experience, your community efforts, and education on one page. I am blown away by how hard you've worked to educate yourself and on how many, you say, community efforts. I mean, my goodness, your community is so fortunate. So I really wanted to say thank you. I think that your community is beyond blessed to have someone with so much knowledge and education, and also to deal with some of the most difficult things, I think, in society, which is domestic violence and sexual assault. So I hope to meet you someday, and I just really want to say thank you for everything that you're doing. I am just in awe of your resume and what you do for the community.
Senator Michicki?
Hello, Rebecca. My only question would be, do you find yourself at any kind of a disadvantage? You're on a relatively professional board. I realize you're the public member, but you're dealing with career police chiefs and corrections folks and people like that. Do you find yourself able to relate on the Police Standards Council on the technical issues they deal with? And while you're accomplishing your mission?
I would say that when I first began, I felt less able to completely understand their viewpoints always and where they were coming from on cases. But that time has passed a long time ago. I feel like I definitely eventually found my voice on the board. And we actually do have a lot in common because we're often working with the same people, the same type of cases. Police officers have the same struggle I do, where you do everything you can for your victims, and then you have to just trust the court and wait for it to find its way through the court and help people navigate that complicated system. And so I feel like after the initial time getting to know each other, I found a lot of allies and people that on the board that really helped me in my career, and I feel like I could maybe help them see where advocates and people in social services like I am in are coming from, too. And I feel like if this just helps us have a better wraparound approach to helping people in our communities, it's all for the best. And I really feel one thing I should mention in front of this group that I hadn't mentioned before, I've forgotten it, is that during the time I've been on the council, four different officers that worked in my town have come before the council to have their certifications revoked. And that has been complex. There's been a lot of public feeling one way or the other in our little town. But it's really brought to light the struggle that these small departments have with recruiting and retaining quality officers. And just having been through that, often I'm listening to the case, but I'm recusing myself because I'm involved. I work with that person. I feel like it's helped me to help our community have some higher standards for the type of care that we're getting in our community from our peace officers. And I feel like I've been able to be unbiased, even though I knew these people. And so that's just something I faced on the job. And I feel like in the end, it's been really great for our community.
Senator Schauer has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Two quick ones. If you heard before my question about constitutional training for law enforcement officers, especially initial academy and then recurrent, so that they are more aware as we can make them of their citizens, of the rights of the citizens that they interact with. And then the second one, what's your thoughts on the VPSO program, since you're really seeing that where you're at in the villages? Do you have any opinions on if that needs, and you don't have to go into depth because of time, but just curious if you're happy with the program or if you see that things need to be changed. You could probably keep it more concise that way. Thank you.
Ms. Hammond, were you able to hear the question?
I heard a little bit of the end of it, but it cut out for a while before.
Okay, Senator Schauer,
maybe 30 seconds. I'm sorry.
We'll
Senator Schauer will repeat it.
Mm-hmm. We'll try again. Can you hear me now?
Okay. Thank you. Yes, I can.
Maybe it was my microphone. So two questions. The first one I asked previously about constitutional training. Would you support that for initial academy cadets and then recurrent training for law enforcement officers so that they're more aware of citizen rights and just how they interact and protect those rights? Second question, the VPSO program, since you see that directly with where you are in rural Alaska, and without getting too long of a question or an answer, do you feel the VPSO program is working, or do you think that it is a program that could stand for changes? Thank you.
So I definitely would support. I'm a huge advocate of training, and the more training, the better. I feel like our officers are working in some very complex situations, often living very close in the communities with the people that they're working with, and the more training, the better, in my opinion. I feel like some of our young officers step into their jobs with only the minimal amount of training, and then they kind of have to learn so many things the hard way. And so I would definitely be an advocate of any kind of better training, more training. And I think constitutional training sounds like a very good thing. The VPSO program I've worked with quite a bit, and I do think that, of course, any program can always use a lot of improvement. But I do feel like it's really, really valuable to have VPSOs in these little villages, because often our troopers are stretched very thin as far as their time, and sometimes it can take 36 hours for them to even get to the area. And when you're dealing with a sexual assault, those 36 hours are very, very important. And just having someone on the ground to even do some limited help with the situation is really valuable. I feel like in the villages, I'll take any support that we can get. And but, of course, if we do have VPSOs, I'd love them to be highly trained and probably more training than they receive to this point.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Hammond. I don't want to put words into your mouth, so if I misunderstood something, but I'll preface it by saying We've been working on sexual crime bills and been studying some of the statistics, and it's horrific. And nationally, 63% of sexual assault's not reported, and it could be much higher for various reasons in our state, cultural and others. And I believe you mentioned something about one of the things that you see your role is helping rebuild trust and respect between community members and law enforcement officers. And that is important if people are going to report. Have you seen any progress on that? You've been on the council 8 years, if that's one of your goals. And if you can speak perhaps to how that could be improved so that we have better reporting and anything the council might do to help to make community members more comfortable as far as reporting, maybe through the training of officers to build relationships. I'm not sure. Could you speak to that, please?
Yes. I'm a really big enthusiast of the team approach, and I would really love to see more teams of officers, advocates, and other social services people attending trainings together, having sort of wraparound trainings that help us deal with cases in a more, I'm not exactly sure what to say, a streamlined way, so that people are receiving quality help from all these different agencies that are working, so that we're not spread out in our approach so much. I definitely feel like there is a lack of trust in our communities for officers and a lack of reporting, and a lot of that is because in the past, people have come forward, they've done that hard work to tell their story and to do all the right things, and often our officers do everything they can, and then it goes to our DA, and it kind of disappears. And one of the reasons that I've heard is that our cases out in our area are so expensive to try out in Naknek, and there's a lot of other reasons, maybe many of them I don't fully understand, but I feel like there's a lack of trust because cases don't have that good sense that there was closure or that something was done for them. There's some cases where there's DNA evidence and everything, and it just kind of goes away. They're told there's just not quite enough and we can't help you. People just have a really hard time understanding that. And especially in light of the way TV is these days, where they show turning in DNA evidence and getting a result in 10 minutes or something. I believe that confuses people. But I feel like with more education and more teamwork among the agencies, we could build that trust again in the communities. And sexual assault is just a really, really huge problem out where we are. And sometimes I'm dealing with victims where there's been trauma that goes back three generations. And I'm talking to the victim, and then I'm talking to her mother, and then I'm talking to her grandmother and her aunt, and they've all had similar experiences. So it's just a very complex, many-layered issue. And I feel like any kind of supports that we can put behind these officers working in these complex situations can only do us a favor.
Thank you, Ms.
I'm sorry. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. And I just want to thank you for having your sights set on that and whatever you can do through the council to help rebuild the trust so that reporting goes up, and also breaking down silos so some of the things you shared with us get shared with the people that need to know that. So, Senator Reinbold, did you have a...
Well, I just really wanted to say, yes, I sat next to a victim of sexual assault on the plane on the way back to the town hall this weekend, and I was shocked at what I learned about the generational effect, and a lot of the opioid use can be stemmed, or self-medication from drugs, etc. But what she told me was so startling, that she had gone to the police and reported it over and over again, and the police were like, there's no evidence, and she just got completely disregarded as a teen. And this perpetrator has gotten so many victims up in Fairbanks. It's just shocking. And so it's one thing that I really want to listen to you about and see if you have ideas of how the children will be heard. I mean, so we can help stop this epidemic, especially in areas like yours. So I hope that... that our office can be in contact with you or as a committee, and so we can figure out ways for police to not disregard honest children or teens that are coming to them and really need help in solving this. Thank you.
All right. With that, Ms. Hammond, I don't see any more questions from committee members. Thank you so much for your time and calling in. And next, we will bring Stephen Dutra, who's calling in. Stephen, if I've mispronounced your name, please state it correctly and your affiliation, and tell us why you are interested in serving on the council.
Yes, Madam Chair. Steve Dutra is my name, and my story is I'm from California originally. I came to Alaska about 25 years ago, and started off in Juneau, and then I was what we call a self-pay through the police academy in Sitka. I went through the police academy, and as soon as I got out of the police academy, I sent a letter across the state looking for a job, and I landed a job in Yakutat and became a borough police officer down there. And while serving in that capacity, I've done just about everything. The village police work is quite a different animal than what I do today. But I got to learn a lot of stuff about how to do arraignments and jail guard and prisoner transports, and you know, working in a small city and everybody knowing who you are and what you're doing it was quite interesting. I served my time there and met my wife. My wife is Clinkett, and we have two kids. We decided to move to Fairbanks so I could finish my my college, and I started UAF and started working for North Pole Police Department, and I've been here ever since. And along the way, I was a patrol officer. I worked my way up to a sergeant. I was a lieutenant for about 7 years, and then I became the chief, and I've been the chief of police for about going on 7 years now. In that capacity, I've learned a lot, continued my education, obviously, in police work, and brought our department to a whole different level than where it was when I took over, and I'm proud of that. I'm proud of the professionalism that the people respect our department and our officers, and we have a good reputation. It's very important to me. I have, I've received several awards as a police chief and as an officer. I just got the APOA Police Chief of the Year on Saturday. I was pretty surprised about that and happy. I was pretty stoked. I do participate in a lot of programs within the community, and I know I didn't list a lot of them on my resume, but one that's near and dear to my heart, I read to fourth grade boys twice a year on the Guys Read program. You know, I've been a Cub Scout leader, baseball coach, and so on and so forth. I do serve currently on the Alaska Chief of Police Board as I'm the secretary there, and that's kind of where I decided that giving back to the law enforcement community was a pretty important to me. I recently became an ethics instructor, and I teach at the University of Fairbanks in ethics, which goes hand in hand with my my desire to be on the Police Standards Council, because I believe that the police and ethics and what we stand for is critical, that we hold the standard high. It's kind of like a mission of mine, and so now I get to teach the young recruits, and then being on the Standards Council, I think I get to give a chance to maintain that standard where it should be. I bring a lot of value to the council, I think, because as the 7 years as a police chief, I've, you know, I pretty much work closely on employee matters. I deal with fair, and I'm pretty stable when it comes to that kind of stuff. I've learned how to be understanding yet stern. I have a lot of experience. I'm fairly even tempered. I'm a good listener. I'm a good team player. I give out an award every year, once or twice a year, actually. I give out an intra-agency award to other law enforcement agencies when I see them doing a good job and reaching out across the aisle and helping other agencies do things. I think that's pretty important. So I like to facilitate teamwork, and no matter what department it is, and it's something that I value quite a bit. I want to be able to give back to the law enforcement community. I like to serving on the board would be something that would work. Serve that purpose, and I have a lot of experience. I've been through two council meetings now. I understand how it works, and I've had my eyes open several times and listening to other folks and sit on the council and getting their feedback on how some of these other folks view the behaviors that we've seen on the council. Very interesting, and I enjoy that those good stimulating discussions. I think the core services the council offers is very similar to what I do already. I just think I offer a lot to the state, and I think I do a good job on the council, because yeah, I'm very, very interested and very motivated to make sure we keep police standards high. So that's, I guess, about all I got to say.
Thank you, Mr. Dutra. Are there questions? Senator Michke?
Thank you, Mr. Dutra, Chief Justra, I guess I should say. Did you go through the academy back in 96, the Alaska Police Academy?
Yes, I did.
So my question is, with your experience going through the academy, which I think is really valuable here, we shifted some of the costs to municipalities. We were losing a lot of troopers to municipalities, so we started charging municipalities for their own training at the academy. Do you believe that's resulted in better interaction and influence from the municipalities on the quality of the academy?
The cost shifting has definitely made an impact on my budget. I would like to see the council find other ways to help, you know, some of these smaller agencies help fund that, because it is a pretty large expense, especially what we're seeing with a lot of attrition. We have people that will start, you know, work 2 or 3 years and then move on to bigger departments, which really is expensive for us because, you know, it's a very costly endeavor. I'd like to see the council consider different funding mechanisms to help stave off that. Is that what your question was?
No, it was more about, typically the munis didn't have a lot of influence on the content at the academy. Now that the munis are covering their own cost, which was brought about because of the munis essentially stealing our troopers, do you have greater interaction on the content and a greater interest in the content of the academy now that you're investing fairly heavily in that endeavor?
No, we haven't done a lot of that yet. I think what they're doing at the academy is pretty well refined, but we have direct contact with the academy, and Lieutenant Gayden that's running the academy now, he's very much about reaching out to us, the chiefs, and getting feedback every time one of our recruits go through the academy. So I think they're doing a good job. I think they're doing the best they can with what they have. They got a lot of their information to train, so... but they do listen. They've done several things. They've made changes over the years.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Chief Dutra, Senator Reinbold has a question for you.
So it's actually a remark as well. I just wanted to say the last thing I did before I came to this committee hearing today was read the Chiefs of Police adamant opposition letter against SB 91. They were one of those letters that I read over and over and over again, and I was just so grateful. And it looks like you were chief of police back in 2012, and I'm pretty sure you were on that letter. But I remember it saying at the core of this policy, it was dangerous for victims and all those in law enforcement who strive every day to protect our citizens. And that resonated to the depths of my heart, and I really wanted to say thank you if you were involved in any way of that. Because you guys rose up. There was a lot of political people that were standing down, and there was some of you who rose, and we listened. So what my question to you is, we have 5 crime bills coming, and if there's anything you can do that you're comfortable, that's ethical, and help get some of the chiefs involved in helping us get any of these legislation through, I'm just soliciting your help, as long as it's you know, doesn't cross any boundaries of ethics.
Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, absolutely. I was one of the only chiefs of police in the state that signed their name to one of those letters that went to the legislators in opposition of SB 91. I was fervently running the flag up the pole on that. And I am on the legislative committee for Alaska Chiefs Association, so yes, I am currently reviewing all of those, and we've met several times now, so we will be sending out letters in support.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Senator Schauer has a question.
It'd be a repetitive question if anybody else is listening. Same one. So just curious, Chief, if you would support a changed policy, however you want to say it, for more constitutional training for officers, initial training at the academy, and then recurrent training just to make sure that they continue to understand the rights of the citizens and how they interact with the people of the state. So it's not that they're necessarily doing it wrong, and I'm saying that specifically because you are an actual Leo, but just that we feel that it's very important that officers always remember that it starts with the Constitution and that we protect those rights because they're critical. So just curious what your opinion might be of that.
Absolutely. That is one of those things that we don't see often enough, getting that training in the academy and then having reoccurring training every 4 years or so to reinforce that. Plus, you get a lot of different changes to the rulings and different judicial districts in the Supreme Court. So you got to make sure you stay on top of that stuff. So we subscribe to some training mechanisms that help our officers stay on top of that. But absolutely, it's critical, so critical, because that's a lot of times where people stumble, is the officers are making hard decisions out there. And if they don't make them with the most current, up-to-date, you know, constitutional training, it makes things difficult. So we have to keep them sharp. Good point.
Okay, thank you. And seeing no further questions, Chief Dutra, we thank you for your time today and stepping up to be on the Alaska Police Standards Council. And next we'll go to Chief Joe White, who's calling in from Ketchikan. Please state your name for the record and share with the committee members why you would like to serve on the Alaska Police Standards Council. Chief White.
Thank you. My name is Joe White. I'm currently the Chief of Police in Ketchikan. Thank you for taking the time to hear me today. I'm currently down in Seattle on some family medical, so I'm on cell phone. Sometimes I can't hear everything that's going on quite clear. So thank you. I was born and raised in Ketchikan. I attended high school in Ketchikan and Kodiak. I attended college in Fairbanks and graduated from UAA in Anchorage in 92. So I've seen quite a bit of the state throughout my life. I currently took my job in Ketchikan in 96 in the working my way up from patrol officer through the ranks to become chief about 2 years ago. Since I took over chief, one of my big goals was to push community involvement. Under my leadership, we started doing citizens academies. We do coffee with cops to get citizens input. We do, right now we're in the process of recreating our SART team with local community stakeholders, the hospital, the troopers, the women safe home advocates. So I do believe in working as a solid team in our community to provide the best quality of service for our community. Alaska Police Standards Council, I have attended two meetings by Chief Dutra. I feel that is such an important piece in Alaska law enforcement. We give police officers, probation officers, and corrections officers so much power and control over our citizens that we have to make sure that it's governed and it's not abused. And I believe one of the biggest functions of the council is to do the administrative issues that come up to make sure that when people have lost their way or lost their sight, that they will no longer hold certificates for Alaska and prevent them from holding certificates anywhere. I've seen this in my career in the past where my agency maybe did not do the best job. And we do not want to pass problems on anywhere. If somebody's having those kind of issues, they should not be in a position of authority over other people. The second part of the council I see is huge is training. And to get ahead of some of the questions, I believe that any training for police officers is great. If we don't have highly trained officers, I see that's when we have problems arise. The constitutional training, I can speak to that real quick. If we don't do it right and it's wrong, everybody loses. So the more we stay ahead of that and the more we get it right every time, it benefits not only our department so we don't have control issues, but it doesn't impact our community so we don't lose cases. We have to do them right. So anyway, I think that the council is a huge part of Alaska law enforcement. I do believe in working collaboratively. Over my career, I've been involved in multiple internal issues where officers received everything from verbal counseling to termination. So I do believe that when we hire all new officers, we've asked the same question on all boards since I've been on, and that is, should police officers be held to a higher standard in the community? And across the board, every time the answer is yes, and we do need to be held to a higher standard, and that's where the Alaska Police Standards Council comes into play. believe that you need to have a fair and open-eyed look at these cases as they come forward and make sure that they meet the criteria. But if so, then the council needs to act on it and take action and remove those problems. So thank you again for taking time to listen to me today. I really appreciate any support that you have. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief White. Does any of the members have any questions? You've answered Senator Schauer's question. Senator Reinbold.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you the same as I've asked others. It looks like you became the chief in 2017, so that was after SB 91 took place. I'm not sure if you were involved in any pushback of SB 91. Feel free to state that on the record if you were. But I hope you're interested in getting tools back in the hands of law enforcement, and if there's anything you can do with the crime packages. Senator McChicky has one, Senate Bill 12, and then we've got 32, 33, 34, and 35. If there's any resolutions you can get through, are you interested in helping get tools back in the hands of law enforcement?
Yes, I am. There's been a lot of frustration. I do believe that some things in SB 91 needed to come through. I think there was some reform that probably needed to happen, but I think that overall it has caused some serious restrictions on public safety. And, yes, anything that we can add more tools and get,
okay,
get the support that law enforcement needs for our communities is a positive thing, yes.
Senator Reinbold?
Okay, and so what I was going to say is that you've got the two key people, Senator Schauer and Senator Hughes, as chairs of State Affairs and Judiciary. Any resolutions or letters that you can get to them would be really helpful. I know Rep. Ortiz, we were sharing an office, actually, when Senate Bill 91 got through, and he was a Noval. He's from Ketchikan, so I was real proud of him for that. But anything Ketchikan can do or anywhere you can influence others to get us some support, these letters are very, very important. Thank you, Chair Hughes. And
thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
And I don't see any further questions, so thank you very much, Chief White, for joining us today and letting us know a little bit about yourselves in this confirmation hearing process. Next, we will move to our last appointee, Mr. Burke Waldron, Chief of Police of Bethel. Mr. Waldron, or Chief Waldron, if you'd please state your name for the record and share with us your reasoning for wanting to serve on the Alaska Standards Police Council.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Can everybody hear me okay? I've been cut off a couple of times out here.
You're coming in loud and clear.
Excellent. Well, as stated, my name is Burke Aldrin. I'm the chief of police calling in from Bethel. A little bit of my background. Retired trooper with 25 years at the Department of Public Safety. During my career with public safety, I worked field and line positions in both divisions of the wildlife troopers and the state troopers, and also administrative levels in both divisions. And since that time, I retired in 2015 from the troopers, took a couple of years to shift gears, and then came out here to Bethel. Oh, it's about a year and a half ago now as the chief out here in Bethel. I'd like to... I'm actually honored to have been nominated for this position. I'd like to serve for a couple of different reasons. First, I see nationwide there's a paradigm shift, I believe, in how the public views law enforcement today. And I'd like to be in a position where I potentially could influence, use my background experience to help influence standards that to better align the shift in the public's paradigm shift, so to speak. Also, ethics and integrity are very, very important to me, always have been, and they've become more and more important to me I've grown in my career in law enforcement. And, I think law enforcement and police officers do a lot of good every day, and that, for the most part, goes unrecognized. But the impact of a single misdeed or misstep by a law enforcement officer sometimes can have nationwide impacts, not just local impacts, but sometimes nationwide impacts. And so I certainly am privileged to potentially have a position where I could help maintain some of those ethics and that integrity in Alaska. I have that kind of sums up the notes I had for myself, but I guess I'll step ahead of the game a little bit and try to answer some questions that I anticipate coming. First, the question from Senator Showers about constitutional training. You know, I think we actually do get more constitutional ongoing reoccurring training than some may think. It's a big part of lots of training that we get throughout our careers in terms of use of force training, search and rescue training. Search and seizure training. Also sometimes, you know, when we get specific training for the use of tasers or pepper spray, all of those things usually start off with a block that directly relates to both the state and U.S. Constitution. That being said, this rolls right back into what I spoke of earlier in terms of the paradigm shift that, with the public view of law enforcement. I'm actually aware of at least two states now that have had legislation introduced in their state legislatures to change police standards in those states. So as those standards change, whether it be a change, not very often a constitutional change, but certainly court decisions, court rulings that of the interpretation of the Constitution, we absolutely have to stay on top of that. That's ongoing, you know, continual changes on the local level, state level, circuit court level, and sometimes even the U.S. Supreme Court level. So with that, I guess I'm ready for questions.
Thank you, Chief Waldron.
Thank you.
Senator Reinbold.
Chief Waldron, I can't help myself. You are in one of the hardest hit areas of sexual assault and domestic violence out there in the Bethel region. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Senator. Yes.
Okay. There's a little background noise. So, I see you were the Lieutenant Deputy Commander of Alaska Bureau of Investigations from 2005 to 2007, and you did major crime investigations with homicides and sexual assault, et cetera, et cetera. I am really, really alarmed with the epidemic of sexual assault in Alaska and especially in your region. I really want to ask you a tough question. Will you help us figure out a strategy to listen to the victim? Is there background somewhere?
We're hearing some background. It's at your end, Chief Waldron, if you're able to take your phone off of speaker, if you have it on speaker.
I am off speaker. I hear better on speaker, but if I'm creating background noise, we'll try this.
Okay, yeah, this is much, much better. I couldn't concentrate. Okay, so anyway, basically, because of your background with the Alaska Bureau of Investigations and your sexual assault and looking into major criminal investigations, I am worried that a lot of the cases in Alaska are getting dismissed. When the children finally reach out or the victims speak out, we need some sort of a method to make sure that their voices are heard and that these cases are processed. And Senator Hughes actually brought up 63%, it looked like, nationwide were unreported. I know that there's generational issues, cultural issues, et cetera, but if there's anything you can do to help us get Senate Bill 12 through, Senate Bill 35 through, and also a path forward so that these victims are validated and that some of these monsters in some of the communities are brought to justice, is this something you're willing to partner with and help us? As some people, we're not involved with this on a daily basis or on a, you know, even in our lifetimes often. So are you willing to help partner with the legislature and help us get the tough crime packages through and then help us chart a path forward in dealing with this horrific epidemic in Alaska?
Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, absolutely. I support all of what you're speaking of, 110%. I couldn't be more vested in it. You know, we all hear about the problems. You know, I've heard about it throughout my 25-year career. I was somewhat involved, you know, when I was lieutenant at ABI. I was still, you know, almost shocked, I guess, when I came out here to see the level of those abuses and the struggles that those victims have. Certainly, I'm more than willing to help out your office and any other office that that would request it. And assuming I'm confirmed, I'm going to be in Juneau for a meeting coming up in March, and I'd be happy to schedule meetings with people and discuss that further if that's wanted.
And through the chair, Senator Reinbold, we have a speaker, over in the House from your area, and also, of course, a senator in the area. If there's anything you can do to help us with support of letters of support, and I believe both of them want to help us fix our criminal law, if there's anything that you can do for letters of support from your area, that would be incredibly helpful, and also to help get these Senate Bill 35 and 12 in particular, but the entire crime package, those letters are very, very powerful. So I want to thank you from the bottom of our heart for your willingness to help and partner with us.
Senator Keel has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chief Waldron, thanks for your application. You have the longest experience of anyone we're talking to today, and so you have a lot of perspective on the training standards that the council has required over the years. Do you see any gaps today or opportunities for improvement that you want to pursue, either in the minimum training for law enforcement officers or correctional officers? Are there specific things that the council should be working on?
To the chairs, Senator, I haven't specifically identified any at this time, no. At least not off the top of my head.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Schauer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And if you'll indulge me, just more of an opinion from it, Chief, since you were the operations commander for Alaska Wildlife Troopers from 07 to 13, and you had that fleet of aircraft, 42, 5 helicopters, and 40 vessels. Do you feel that size fleet is necessary and utilized efficiently, or is that something that perhaps the state could maybe divest of some of those assets if it's needed? And like I said, I understand it's a little more finance related, but because of where we sit with everything and then trying to focus money to do the core responsibilities, which is, of course, back to APSC and what you do, with your experience level, as Senator Keel just mentioned, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I've been out of the involvement with those budgets with DPS now for over 5 years. I don't have the detailed knowledge that I once did. I certainly think that as the fisheries change and law enforcement missions change and budgets change, budget constraints change. You know, all those things have to evolve together, and I believe that DPS has evolved and has made changes to both of those aspects of their purview. But I don't have the intimate, specific, detailed knowledge that I once did, so I can't speak in detail of it. But as times change, we all have to evolve. So at least some of those evolutions, I believe, have been made.
All right. Thank you. Senator Michicki, you do not have a question?
I do not.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chief Waldron. It's been very helpful for us to hear from you this afternoon. I want to thank you and the others, the other four nominees that stepped up today and are willing to serve and provided information to us. And so hearing no other questions from the committee, in accordance with AS 39.05.080, the Joint Judiciary Committee reviewed the following and recommends the appointment be forwarded to a joint session for consideration: Alaska Police Standards Council, Stephen Dutra, Burke Waldron, Rebecca Hannon, Joseph White, Jennifer Winkleman. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individuals during any further sessions. I'm going to ask members to please remain after we gavel out to sign the paperwork. This is going to conclude our business today, and I will let you know that Wednesday our meeting will be a presentation from the Alaska Justice Commission, Criminal Justice Commission, and we also hope to have a CS for SB 12 and for a CS for SB 35, the two sexual crime bills that we'll pick up and follow through on. And I also want to mention that for those listening and for members, too, Thursday at 5 p.m., we'll hold public testimony on the committee substitutes for those two sexual crime bills, SB 12 and SB 35. So seeing no other business before the committee, we will adjourn. Let the record reflect the time is 2:36.